Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and all summer long we've been doling out advice to listeners on the show. Today's session is going to cover intergenerational conflict, especially the situations that come up between adult children and your parents. Emily Yaffe, a.k.a. Dear Prudence, is Slate's advice columnist, and she's back again today to offer more advice to you. Emily, thanks for continuing your summer advice series on the show. Welcome back to WNYC.
My pleasure to be here.
So a few questions in your columns this week fit in with our theme, which is intergenerational conflict, especially between parents and their adult children.
Yeah.
Does that sort of thing come up a lot?
A lot.
So
all the time, yes.
We'll just leave that little tease sitting there for just a second as we put out the phone number and the invitation, because listeners, is your mom a little too nosy, or is your partner's father too close for comfort? Do your parents watch your small children and not use the car seat because you turned out okay and you never had a car seat in the 70s? Give us a call at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Does anyone have an issue with the family business you want to hash out or want to ask about boundaries and conflicts on Facebook or other social media? Family money situations, disagreements over politics. It's all fair game today between parents and adult children. And the couple of examples we gave so far were kind of from the adult children's perspective. How about from the older parents' perspective? 212-433-WNYC if you're looking for advice on one of these situations. 433-9692. And Emily, while we're waiting for some calls to come in, let's go to that question from your live chat column earlier this week that I mentioned before the break. A professional blogger's mother shows up in the comment section of her blog, identifying herself as the writer's mother, and proceeds to argue with people, which embarrasses her child. What did you advise this blogger to do?
Well, first of all, when you see, after I wrote this, someone, of course, showed up as Prudy's mom in my comment section. So if, you know, I said to the blogger, someone showing up as Mindy's mom doesn't necessarily make people think it is your mom. I had a couple of, she had said, look, Mom, this is really embarrassing to me. The young woman blogged for girls who are teens to early 20s, and then if people disagreed with the blogger, the blogger's mom would get in and, you know, ream them out for being mean to her daughter. So, I said, you've got to reiterate, this is like, you wouldn't show up at my office and tell my boss, you know, stop being mean, and so this is similar. Then I said, there may be a technological answer if Mom won't do it. Just get her IP address banned. It also is possible if
hell
Mindy's
to pay for that, right?
Hey, you know, if you have a picture of your mom at the security entrance, do not let this woman in. I said, you also could handle this with some humor. You know, the next time she shows up in the comments, you can say, Mom, thanks but I can handle this myself. And then I said this would actually be a good topic for a blog discussion, you know, as we're talking about here, boundaries. And a reader wrote in and said, well, she should actually write about one of my problems is my mother writing in the comments. And I think that's a decent idea. I think, first of all, you have to give a heads up to your mom and say, Mom, I'm going to write about this problem. Then you have to do it in a loving way. You know, you're writing about this larger topic. How do you separate from your parents? How do you tell them, no, it's okay, you're being intrusive here? And I said, use your mom's example. That might scare her off.
Yeah. Well, we have some calls coming in, and let's take one of them. The theme is conflicts having to do with social media or other things between parents and adult children, 212-433-WNYC, if you need some advice along these lines, 212-433-9692. Anne in Flushing, you're on the air. Anne, thanks a lot for calling.
Hi. I'm calling because of a conflict that I have with my adult sons. If one of them is working and living back at home, and my husband and I have asked for him to contribute financially to the running of the household. And my son said no. He said, no, this is my house. I live here. You're my parents. Why should I contribute?
Wow. I think the...
Yeah.
Well, I think the who's right here is going to be a slam dunk for most people. But, Emily, what should she do?
But that's the thing. What if he says no? Do I tell him get out? It's not easy.
All right. And is this totally new, or was he... This was always a problem. You would say, no, you can't do that. You're not going to do that. Yeah, I'm going to do that.
No, I think it became a real sore issue because of asking for money.
Mm-hmm. Does he work? Does he have an income? Is he destitute?
Well, we wouldn't have asked him if he didn't work. He has a job.
Does he purchase food for the house? Does he do laundry for the family? Does he purchase the detergent? Does
no.
He okay, so you're providing, this is not just room, it's room and board, there's food, there's...
Maid service?
The way a house is run.
How old is your son?
Well, he's, this is really something that happened when he was about 26, 27.
And now it's resolved?
Well, now it's resolved because he moved out.
Ah.
But he's doing the same thing now with my mother. He moved to her house.
He moved to grandma's house to do
yes.
the same thing? Wow. So what should Ann's mother do? And then we're going to move on to some other calls.
Right. I think it's time for the family to say, you know, you need to find out what it's like in the real world running a real house. You need some roommates. You got enough money to, you know, live as young people do. No more sponging off the family. This is just bad. You know, he's now in his late 20s. He needs to understand what it means to have a budget and support yourself.
And the phrase adult children really applies to him, it sounds like. And good luck with your son. And Pete in Cranford, you're on WNYC. Hi, Pete.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You need some advice on this?
I do. I have problems with my parents. So I'm in my early 40s. My parents are in their 80s. And our difference is matters of religion. So I was raised in a conservative evangelical Christian family. I no longer share all of those beliefs. I respect them. I'm respectful of my parents, but they of course remain in that way. Wondering how I can talk about my religious beliefs with them and how they've changed and evolved without making it seem like an argument or I guess at a core I'm a little worried about disappointing them, even though I know that, you know, we all have to come to our own spots. And I'm not even trying to change their opinion. I a lot of times when they'll talk about issues or, you know, even social issues, I won't even, like, bother. I won't try to argue with them just because I'm not going to change their minds.
So what's your goal, Pete? Is it that you want them to hear and appreciate your spirituality, your version of it?
It's that. And I guess I just feel a conflict internally because – I know, like, I don't feel like I'm being honest with them, and I don't have, like, as an authentic a relationship as I'd want with them.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I know that if I would tell them this, they'd be disappointed. It's almost like coming out, in a sense, but not as a gay person, but just as not an evangelical Christian.
Emily?
I say forget it. I understand the conflict you feel. But on some level, one's relationship with God or set of beliefs can be seen as, you know, very private. I don't want to get into theological matters. You know them. The reason you're hesitating is while you respect their views, you're pretty sure they will be appalled at yours and feel you're going to hell, et cetera, et cetera. Why you say you avoid other, you know, kind of issues of social behavior you know will be a conflict. I think this is one of them. Just accept there's not going to be a meeting of the minds here, and find places you can agree.
Find places you can agree and avoid the issue. This is the Thanksgiving advice, right? Don't bring up politics or religion, but you're saying don't ever. I wonder, couldn't there be an upside risk to being open about who you are, and perhaps they'll come closer, because he seems to be searching for intimacy with his parents, that they could come closer even through talking about their differences?
Well, Pete seems to feel he knows his parents, and that won't happen. He made an analogy to coming out. I think that's somewhat different, because if you're going to pretend you don't have a life partner, that's ridiculous. But your essential beliefs about God, why do you have to discuss that with anyone? I've had many, many letters from people in this position, and very rarely do the hardcore evangelical parents say, I understand your skepticism. I don't hear that a lot.
Pete, thanks for your call, and good luck with that situation. And we're talking about conflicts between parents and their adult children, or vice versa, with Slate's advice columnist, Emily Yaffe, who you might know better as Dear Prudence on Slate. And if you have a question seeking her advice on something in that area, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Karen in Westchester, you're on the air. Hi, Karen.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. Well, my conflict is that I'm an adult child. I'm actually in my 50s. And my mother has been doing this for quite a while, where she basically recreates history as to how she parented me. And, she does it with my kids. She does it with everyone. And we had quite a difficult childhood. You know, my parents divorced, and they fought a lot, and it was very chaotic. And she admits to getting divorced, maybe, but otherwise she doesn't admit that she dumped all my stuff and left the house and did all kinds of things that really were destructive. And so what I find is just that, as soon as she starts talking, I want to strangle her, and I'm reduced to being 17 years old, thinking, are you kidding? How could you be talking like this? How could you not acknowledge all the things that you did wrong? So it's tough, and she's in her 80s. I don't want to fight with her. I don't fight with her, but I leave ready, furious and not wanting to see her.
Emily, what should she do?
This is very common and very hard, particularly if it's not just, we didn't go to St. John's, we went to Bermuda. It's not that. It's that a lot of pain was inflicted. It's never been acknowledged. Karen, it sounds like that might be part of the issue here. You at least want acknowledgement for how tough it was. And it sounds like you're not going to get it. One thing I found in hearing a lot of these questions is the parent, no one sets out to be a lousy parent, but the people who create chaotic childhoods for their children tend not to be the people who do a lot of self-reflection.
Yes, absolutely. And, of course, I'm a social worker, so I completely
process.
Right. I had to analyze everything. And, yes, I think you're so right. It's the acknowledgement. I don't expect her to be any different than she is. I just wish she'd admit a couple of things. It just bothers me. And but she's completely unself-reflective. I mean, she thinks very highly of herself, and everything she does is wonderful.
Right. So your ultimate...
My suggestion is, instead of trying to get that acknowledgement that you're not going to get, is shut down the conversation. Don't be driven crazy when she starts, remember the time I was the best. Just say, Mom, isn't it hot? I don't want to think about childhood now. Or let's not dredge up ancient history. Shut it down. And if, in fact, she won't shut it down, shut down the visit.
Karen, Good luck. Thank you for calling. I hope that was helpful. Larry in Washington Heights, you're on with Emily Yaffe from Slate. Hi.
Hi, Brian. I hope I'm not going to get in trouble because my daughter and everybody are avid listeners, but I think they're at the beach.
And certainly they
tattoos.
Wouldn't recognize your voice. Go ahead.
Tattoos. I'm in my 60s. My wife is in her 60s, and my daughter's 28. And I just sort of thought after she just recently got married that there would be a moratorium on them, and now she just got another one to commemorate their honeymoon. And
her husband is her husband is cool with that, but you're not.
Well, he gets them too. I mean, they're tasteful, they're artistic, they're beautiful. They're not I would say obsessive in terms of all over their bodies, but. God, when does it stop?
I'm just trying
to understand it.
Yeah.
You know and then later when they have kids, how do they explain that to them?
Emily, are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Well, yeah, obviously, Larry, there's nothing you can do. And,
no, well, I know that. I just thought I would put it out there anyway, just because it's one of those things that parents, you know, you just wonder about and wish you could understand it a little bit better. At least I felt I was smart enough not to get one myself because I didn't want to put myself into that place, if that makes sense.
There really is a generational divide over this. Larry, I'm with you. Some of the bravest things I've written are anti-tattoo, and man, oh man, do people get angry at me, because obviously there are a lot of people to get angry at me. You know, all the issues you raise when you're my age, you'll regret this. No, I won't. I'll always be happy I had. Forget it. Her body, their body, the new husband's not on your side. Don't say, oh, I love that. Just don't comment on it. Don't note it. Look at her lovely face.
And you said they're tasteful. If they were really engaging in self-destructive behavior that you thought was really going to ruin them in some way, I think, Emily, do you agree, it would be a different kind of situation?
Once the ink is on, though, you know, they're not getting face tattoos, so that's good.
Larry, good luck. Thank you for chiming in. And we're just about out of time. I'll just recommend you all to Emily's column today, which has something in this parents and adult children category, which is outrageous. A young couple who lives in the boyfriend's hometown went away for the weekend and came home to find that the boyfriend's mom had redecorated their entire house without telling them. So on Slate, you can see what she wrote about that. And Emily, hey, I'll talk to you next Thursday because we're going to do this another time.
Look forward to it.
Thanks so much. Emily Yaffe, the advice columnist on Slate, known there as Dear Prudence, joining us Thursdays in July. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.